everybody. It is good to see you. You don't have to be lonely this morning. I'm here. Yeah. This will be your hour-long conversation with your best virtual friend. Let me make sure your comments are showing. Yes, they are. Yay. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the highlight of human civilization. It's called Coffee with Scott Adams, and you've never had a better time. But if you would like to take a chance on elevating your experience to levels that no one can understand with their tiny, shiny human brains, all you need is a cup or a mug or a glass, a tankard, chalice or stein, a canteen, jug or flask, a vessel of any kind. Fill it with your favorite liquid. I like coffee. And join me now for the unparalleled pleasure, the dopamine of the day, the thing that makes everything better. It's called the simultaneous sip, damn it. And it happens right now. Go. Oh, yeah. That was good. That was real good. Well, I wonder if there are any scientific studies about coffee being good for you. Oh, here's another one. Fast Company is reporting that researchers at Tufts University found out that drinking black coffee is really good for your health. But if you add sugar and, well, mostly sugar probably, but sugar and milk, no benefits. So coffee is either making you healthier or making you less healthy, depending on what kind of crap you put in there. You know, I love Starbucks as a place to hang out, and certainly their food and beverages are delicious, but doesn't it feel to you like it's a liquid candy store, and that most of the people who go to Starbucks are there for the sugar? Doesn't it seem like that? I don't feel like they sell a lot of black coffee. No, that's all I, you know, the only kind of beverage I get there is black coffee. For the health benefits, did you know, according to the University of Texas at Austin, they found out that if you're a senior citizen and you're helping other people, your cognitive decline is slower. In other words, the act of helping others and being useful and, you know, donating your time to somebody else's benefit, makes your brain operate better. Now, I have a theory of evolution, sort of evolution, I guess, that I've always had, and I have no scientific backing for it whatsoever. So feel free to mock me for my terrible idea. But the idea is this, that your body will respond to what your brain thinks it needs. Let me say that again. I believe that in your individual life, you know, not just evolution over time, but in your immediate life, that your body will conform to what your brain believes you need most. So if I thought you were in a dangerous place where you needed muscles, I believe that you would grow muscles faster. You'd still have to exercise, obviously, but that you would grow muscles faster if you added in your mind some objective, like being in a contest. Even if you did the same amount of exercise, if somebody else was imagining, you know, nothing particular about their health, but the other one was imagining themselves in a contest and it really mattered to their life, that the fact that it really mattered would cause their body to just sort of chemically adapt and do it kind of quickly. So this part about helping others slows your cognitive decline makes me wonder if that's the mechanism. In other words, if you feel that you're being useful and helpful and you're keeping somebody else alive and happy, then I feel like your brain releases the, you know, the chemicals that your body needs to be healthier and keep your brain alive. But if you weren't using your brain for anything useful to the tribe, I can see how it would, your body and your brain would just say, well, we don't need to be too smart. might as well degrade a little bit. So, in my opinion, with no scientific backing whatsoever, I feel like if you have a solid idea of where you want to be and what you want to do, and it's compatible with life and evolution and humanity, that your body and your brain just sort of become that much more easily than if you didn't have that image. That's what I think. Well, Uber has launched their female-only driver option. You knew it was coming. So I don't know what happens if a man tries to select it. Somebody will find out, I'm sure. But as a man, I wonder if there are people who take Uber and think, oh, I hope I get a female driver so I can flirt with them or something. Probably. But Uber had to do this because they will very soon be competing with a lot more driverless cars. There are already driverless cars like Waymo. But once Tesla comes online, who would ever use an Uber if you could do a Tesla self-driving car for less money? And it might even be more widely available. I don't know. I'll tell you what I'm really looking forward to is sending my car on errands. I don't know if that's in the works, but what would be the point of having DoorDash and all these food delivery if I had a Tesla that I could simply send to pick up my food? And if you're the restaurant, you could tell it pulls into your parking lot or whatever, and you could just open up the trunk and have them put the food in and have it drive it home. I would definitely do that. It'd be way cheaper than having it delivered. So when you think about really radical ways that the whole food preparation thing could go, the most radical way would be if your car could go wherever the food is and pick it up for you and then drive it to your house. That would be the most immediately transformational thing. Because I would send it for vegetables and fresh vegetables and stuff every day. Because what's this going to cost? You know, $2 in electricity to send your car. Apparently, if you believe that talking to ChatGPT or maybe the other AIs, if you thought that was a private thing and ChatGPT would not be saving your chats, well, turns out it's saving your chats, and it has to. They don't have an option because apparently a federal judge just ordered OpenAI to freeze every personal chat and to store it because there's some copyright-related lawsuit that requires maybe looking at their messages. Oh, my God. Can you imagine the private kind of things that people have asked ChatGPT? Like really private health-related things and lifestyle-related things? Oh, my God. If somebody could open up all of your requests to AI, I think a lot of us are in trouble. It's a lot of stuff you don't want your neighbors looking at, probably. So what I would recommend is that you immediately start doing a whole bunch of fake chats. I mean, actually, you're chatting, but you're doing it just to kind of seed the chat with stuff that's good for you. So, for example, today you should go home and say, ChatGPT, I was wondering, what would be the best charity that I could sign up for to donate my time and money to the well-being of other people who are less fortunate? And just do one of those about every day until if somebody ever searches your stream, they'll say, well, this person has some weird hobbies, but you got to say this is a pretty good person right here. That's a pretty good person. Anyway, or here's the other option. You've heard of super prompts where you wisely ask your question of AI in the way that gets you the best answer. I would recommend appending to every question that you have for AI, I'm asking for a friend. I'd like to know what to do about this terrible disease. I'm asking for a friend. What is the best way to launder money? I'm asking for a friend. If I wanted to murder my neighbor's dog and not get caught, my friend wants to know. So that's my recommendation. Just add that to every question. All right. And don't kill your neighbor's dog. That was just a humorous example. A new study, Jonathan Turley is writing about this, found that almost 90% of students misrepresent their views in class, I think these are college students, on assignments to satisfy faculty by adopting more liberal views. Let's see, this is a recent op-ed in Northwestern University. Some researchers said that between 2023 and 2025, they conducted a whole bunch of confidential interviews. And we asked, they say they asked students, again, college students, have you ever pretended to hold more progressive views than you truly endorse to succeed socially or academically? An astounding 88% said yes. Now, here's my first reaction to that. We're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. It turns out that the young people are wise enough to lie on all these bullshit questions. So 88% of them lie because they know that the question is sort of painting them into a trap and will ruin their life if they answer honestly. So they all know to lie. We'll be fine. Don't worry about the kids actually being woke. They're not woke at all. Yeah, no, they're just lying. As soon as they get in a place where they feel safe, all the wokeness will fall away. But here's my reaction to this. I was in college in 1975 to 1979. Yes, I'm that old. This was exactly the same then. How many people roughly my age who also were in college in the 70s recall that you also could not honestly answer a question? Are you kidding me? Do you think I could be honest in 1977 and say exactly what my real opinion was if a professor was going to read it? Of course not. Of course not. There's never been a time when college students could be honest about their opinions. That's never been a thing. This didn't suddenly happen. No, it's always been like that, at least in my lifetime. So maybe it's worse, but I don't know how it could be worse than I'm not going to tell you my opinion at all. That's the way it was when I was in college. Anyway, I saw a Victor Davis Hanson video in which he was talking about what he calls the collapse of the Democratic Party. Now, what's interesting is that he uses the word collapse. When was the first time you heard somebody say the Democrat Party is going to collapse, using that specific word? When was the first time you ever heard collapse? I'll tell you. It probably was several years ago when I told you that I was going to try to take out the tentpole hoax, the fine people hoax. And I told you that that would lead to what? Collapse. It was literally a metaphor about a tent that if you took out the main pole, the main hoax, it would collapse. And we're seeing the further collapse, I think, with the Russia gate, Russia collusion hoax, as people are learning all the badness that happened there. But I'm going to say that that was one of my best predictions ever, and certainly in the category of not knowing if I predicted it or in some small way helped cause it. I don't know. But I know I told you in advance that I'm going to break this hoax, and in so doing, I'm going to make the entire Democratic Party collapse. I told you that multiple times as I did it in front of you in public. So when I hear Victor Davis Hanson say that the Democratic Party is in collapse, I say to myself, oh, there you go. I'll never know if I had anything to do with it. I mean, there's no way to know for sure, but it looks like it. It looks like I was at least part of that story, some small part. And Victor goes further. He says, they're melting down. I don't even think there is a Democratic Party now. And that's what it feels like. It doesn't feel like there's a Democratic Party. It feels like there's a bunch of people who identify as Democrats and they don't know who's in charge, and they're not likely to line up against, you know, behind anybody that we know of. But here's further evidence of the Democrats in collapse. Hillary Clinton decided to weigh in here with a little post on X, and she said, on one hand, Republican officials call themselves, quote, war fighters. On the other, they become whiny crybabies at the thought of setting foot in D.C. streets and New York City subways that literal school children navigate every day without incident. Real macho stuff. Okay. Number one thing that's wrong with it, it's sexist, because she's teasing them for being macho. She's not referring to female Republicans. Once again, Hillary Clinton, that giant evil cunt of a woman, has decided to go after men, in this case, Republicans. And that's her biggest problem, is that she's a horrible person. But have you ever heard Republican officials call themselves war fighters? Where did that come from? She starts it with, on one hand, Republican officials call themselves war fighters. I've never heard that. Have you ever heard anybody call themselves a war fighter? So that's crazy. And then on the other, they become a whiny crybabies on these dangerous streets. She's literally minimizing crime, street crime, one of the things that people, even Democrats, care the most about. It's the thing that they fear the most, walking outside in some areas of cities. Everything about this post screams, I'm a sick, demented piece of crap. And also one of the leaders of the Democrats. And then cut away to Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem Jeffries, unfortunately, has what I call evil character face. And there's nothing racial about this, in case you want to jump to that. This is nothing racial. But his eyes look like he was created in a laboratory to be Dr. Evil squared. And every time he talks, I think to myself, really? That's your leader? You pick the only person who looks like he's planning to kill you. I mean, he looks like your cat. You ever see a cat when your cat is really unhappy and you can't miss it because it's all over the cat's face? Hakeem Jeffries seems like an angry cat. He's got that face that just looks like, I don't even like you. I wouldn't even care if you died on the streets. I wouldn't even care. If you were on fire, I wouldn't urinate on you. Look at my eyes. Do I look like I care? So, yeah, they're in complete collapse. According to Charles Gasparino, who is writing in the New York Post, Trump seems to be getting closer to maybe rescheduling marijuana at the federal level as a class 3 drug so that it wouldn't have the same penalties if you got caught. And I think that would allow, I'm not positive, but I think that would allow banks to feel more comfortable handling marijuana companies. So we'll see. It does seem like that would be another 80-20, right? Isn't the polling something like in the neighborhood of 80% are in favor of at least decriminalizing it? Is that true? I think it's in that neighborhood. So that doesn't mean that Trump will do it, or it doesn't mean it's even a good idea, but I think it's popular. Well, according to Newsmax, the U.S. military, as you know, is pushing for drone dominance. So Silicon Valley apparently is, you know, really ramping up hard on drones. And I saw one insider say that Silicon Valley used to be very anti-defense, meaning that they didn't want their talents to be used to make weapons for the military. But apparently that's changed. I don't know if it's because the weapons are cooler, you know, because they're drones and robots and AI and stuff, or if something about Trump has changed. I know a lot more people are signing up to be in the military. So there does seem to be some kind of major improvement in, let's say, reputation of the U.S. military. So I don't know if this is signaling that, but apparently now Silicon Valley is all in on making sure that we have drone dominance. Now, what does that mean when the biggest country and richest country decides it's going to be dominant in a technology, and it's practical? I mean, someone's going to be dominant, and why not us? Well, probably we'll get there. And it looks like Trump is being credited with cutting a whole bunch of red tape, because if you wanted to build anything that flies and does anything dangerous, you're going to need a lot of federal, you know, red tape and stuff. So apparently some of that's being cleared away to give us a chance of being dominant. Now, let's connect some dots, okay? Separately, there are stories about Ukrainian troops being so depleted at this point that they might be like 100,000 people short of even being able to man the trenches that they have on the front lines. But they're compensating, the story is today, with ground robots that shoot machine guns, and tons and tons of drones. So Trump has decided that we will sell technology to Ukraine, but we won't give it to them. We've also decided that we want to be dominant in drones, and we're going to need to test our technology to make sure that we really are dominant in an actual wartime situation. So where do you think everything's heading? I'm going to make a suggestion, because Trump is going to be looking for leverage over Russia. He can threaten sanctions, but apparently that's off the table at the moment. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But what can Trump really threaten that would look like a realistic threat? And I have a suggestion and also a prediction. I think if the war continues for year after year, which is possible, I think there's a good chance it will last another 5 years. I feel like in 3 years, and maybe a lot sooner, the entire front line will be robots and drones, you know, which are robots of a kind. So imagine Trump saying to Putin, all right, here's the deal. Under normal circumstances, if you were to just straight line what's happening now into the future, Russia would definitely take over all of Ukraine. It would take a while, but they would get there, right? Most of you believe that because you're just running out of Ukrainians. There's just not enough human beings to defend the country after a while. And so since Russia has more population, plus they're getting the North Koreans to help them, they can just outlast the humans. But what happens if Trump said, here's the deal, Putin. We are trying to become, you know, the biggest military robot and drone force in the world, and we need to test it, and we have a really good customer. So as long as the Europeans are willing to open their wallets, we're going to sell them unlimited numbers of drones and robots, the new stuff, and eventually the entire front line is going to be robots. Once it is, you're going to have to ask yourself, can you, Russia, keep up with our technology? Because right now it's a human versus human contest. and the Russians have more humans, so they have a huge advantage. Once the Ukrainians run out of humans, and that's happening quickly, if nothing changed, the Russian humans would just move forward and conquer what's left. But Trump can change the frame from Putin. You know that in 3 years, this is not going to be a human-on-human war. You know that, right? And he does know that. Everybody knows that. So you say to him, here's the deal. If you keep fighting, we'll keep supplying the very best American technology to drones and robots, and you're going to be having an all-robot war, and you will not be able to keep up with our technology. You have really good technology, but you're not going to keep up with our technology. So the war is going to go from humans on humans, where Russia has an enormous advantage, to high-tech versus high-tech only, in which Russia has a disadvantage. And you know what the United States gets? Practice. Not only do we make money selling our goods, but we get practice, and we get practical information back about what worked and what didn't. I don't think that Putin would want to enter an era in which it wasn't humans against humans, and it's robots against his humans, or robots against his worst robots. Because I don't think China is going to give them the good stuff. Do you? Or if they did, maybe not enough of it. So that would be the thing I would add. It's like, look, Putin, you better settle up now, or you're going to be talking to the robots. And you know that's true. There was a poll, Politico talking about, a Citroen Center Possibility Lab poll on whether Californians would go along with Gavin Newsom's idea to redistrict in a special election. Now, normally the way they would redistrict is California has an independent commission to do that. I'm sure it's not super independent. I think independent is sort of maybe not exactly 100% accurate, but maybe better than whatever they're doing now or trying to do. So surprisingly, the questions were two questions. One, do you support keeping the independent redistricting commission? And number two, do you support returning congressional redistricting authority to state legislators? And only 36% of voters supported giving the legislature back that power. So you might presume that that means that if Newsom does his special election, to get the power to do it early instead of using the redistricting commission, that the voters would reject it. But Newsom tries to lie and tell you that they're not planning to get rid of the independent redistricting commission. But what he doesn't say is what they are planning is to ignore it. They're not planning to get rid of it. Oh, no, we're not going to get rid of it. Well, that's crazy talk. No, we're just going to do the redistricting without it. So Newsom is actually trying to sell the idea that we're keeping the Congressional Redistricting Commission at the same time that he's pushing to ignore them. He's trying to sell that. Good luck. So I'm hoping Californians can see through it and maybe turn down that redistricting thing. But I don't know if that poll is telling us what we need to know about that. According to the New York Post, 75 homeless camps in Washington, D.C. have been cleared. What does that mean? Where are those people? Is there some secret alternate Washington, D.C. Where they move all the homeless people? Now, that would be kind of funny, wouldn't it? Imagine if we hired Hollywood to build a set of an inner city, but the buildings are all fake. They're just fronts. And then the homeless people think, aha, we got another city to be homeless in. They put up their tents on the sidewalk, but it's just it's like a Hollywood set. And they could be homeless all they want. But if they try to go inside a building, the doors are all locked. So, because there's nothing in there, just fake buildings. So let's do that. All right. Anyway, I'm very curious where those 75 homeless camps went and where those people go. But apparently South Carolina, Ohio, and maybe one other state is sending their own National Guards to assist D.C. And there's talk about doing it in New York City, too. But Hillary Clinton would like to remind you that you're just a giant wuss if you're afraid of street crime. You giant wuss, you. So I saw a post on X from Dr. Interracial. Now, it's important for you to know that Dr. Interracial is literally in an interracial marriage. He is the black member of the interracial marriage. And he pointed out that the videos of the Washington, D.C. protest were all white people. And he says, notice no black people are protesting against safe communities. None. There are like thousands of people protesting. Not a single black person in the crowd. Not one. Now, is that because there are a couple of possibilities? One possibility is that black people don't want to protest against ending crime. Now, that's the one I want to believe. The other possibility is that all of these protests are inorganic, and there are literally organizations you can pay to hire people to protest for whatever you want them to protest for. Crowds for Hire, is that what it's called? What if, and I'm just throwing this out there, what if the Crowds for Hire, the people who create the fake demonstrations, what if they don't have a DEI department? What if the entire problem is that they're not doing any recruiting to get diversity in their crowds? So all they get is a bunch of bored, retired white people. I don't know what is causing the fact that there wasn't a single black person in this very large crowd of protesters in a city that has a quite substantial black population. But it means something. It definitely means something. I'm not entirely sure what it means, but it means something. Meanwhile, there were anti-Israel demonstrations in Manhattan. And I guess they were calling for a global intifada, which is a slogan that you might recognize that a lot of people see as incitement of violence against Jewish communities. So that's happening. Do you imagine that that was an organic protest? No, there aren't any. There are no organic protests. It's almost certainly paid protesters and maybe people from other countries are behind it. Who knows? But something's behind it. I would ignore it. Unless they break stuff, I would just ignore them. Well, maybe that's not strong enough because you don't want people marching around saying global intifada. But they do have, on the other hand, this freedom of speech. Is global intifada yet officially hate speech? Or is it on its way to becoming official hate speech? Because that could change things. Congressman Eric Swalwell was asked to comment on Trump's meeting with Putin in Alaska. And if you can believe this douchebag, he's one of what I call the designated liars, the people who really push the big lies, like the really embarrassingly, obviously false, really big lies. And so he goes with, I do not know if President Trump is or is not a Russian asset. Fuck you. What a piece of crap that guy is. What a piece of crap. That in 2025, he's still pushing Russiagate hoax. Like it was all real or something. Oh my God. MSNBC actually puts him on the air for that. Well, I was wondering if you've started to notice a pattern, which is the stickiest criticisms against Trump are the things you can't prove or haven't happened yet. May never happen, but they haven't happened yet. So people are criticize Trump because inflation will happen, but it hasn't. I mean, a little bit, but not enough to change things. They're worried about him becoming a third-term president, but it hasn't happened. It was probably just a joke. Well, it is just a joke. They're worried about him becoming a dictator. Well, I don't really see that happening, because if the court rules against him, he still does what the court says. And even the stuff with Ukraine is more about what will happen next than what has happened so far. So it feels like they really have to reach hard, and they also did the mind-reading thing, where they'll say, all right, well, maybe nothing's gone wrong, but in his mind, he plans to do terrible things in the future. In his mind, he's only doing it for the wrong reasons. So it's the weirdest set of criticisms, because if they look at what he's actually done that has something like a conclusion, that stuff looks pretty good. Right? Because the NATO funding is done, and that looks pretty good. The closing of the border, largely completed. I mean, it's a permanent job. They have to keep on it. But we don't have to wonder what it looks like. He already did it. So there's probably a whole bunch of things that he's already done, like getting, you know, great investments to come into the U.S., you know, onshoring stuff. And then what is it, 6 or 7 wars he's helped end? You know, you could argue whether that's really 4 or 7, but he's definitely helping wars end. So all the things that have happened look pretty good. We're only worried about the things we can imagine happening in the future, but are not that likely, actually. All right. apparently, the Trump administration is going to start cracking down on all cash buyers. I think specifically companies doing it, purchasing American homes. As you know, there are a number of entities, some foreign and some domestic, paying cash for homes that severely limits the availability of homes for other people to buy. And that raises the price, we assume. So Trump is going to look into that. And I feel like that's another 80-20 issue. Because, well, there might be big hedge funds and stuff who want to keep buying houses for cash, because it's one way to basically hide your money in an inflation-resistant asset, because houses will go up in value if inflation goes up. So it might be just a way for people to hide their money until they know what's happening with inflation. But if you were to query the public, I would guess at least 80% of the public, maybe 90%, would say, yeah, you should clamp down on all these non-residents buying houses. So that's probably a good topic for the president. Apparently, the biggest teachers union, Randy Weingarten's union, is suing the Trump administration to try to keep DEI in public schools. Corey DeAngelis is reporting on this. He's your school choice evangelist. You all know Corey. You should follow him on social media. And it just seems to me that topic after topic shows that the teachers' unions are trying to destroy the country. Because if they have their way, the schools will keep getting worse, because there won't be choice. And they will pack it with DEI, which will cause division and all kinds of problems. And honestly, on one hand, you could say, well, the goal of the union is to help the union members. It's not to help the students. It's not to help the parents. So you could understand why, you know, in our competitive world, they could have a union and they could fight for things that are good for them. But there's not really a balance to that. There's nobody who's the one on the other side who's actually, you know, in the battle. So it's sort of a one-sided thing. And what it makes it look like is that the real goal of the teachers' unions is to destroy the United States. You saw it during the pandemic. You're seeing it with DEI. You're seeing it with their opposition to school choice. These are the most fundamental things. The quality of education is the most fundamental thing that would keep the country healthy. And they're attacking it in every domain, it seems like. So this is not an accusation, but it almost feels like Randy Weingarten must be working for one of our adversaries. Like, does she get a paycheck from somebody we don't know about? Because the way she acts is like she is not in favor of the United States. I mean, it just looks like picking every destructive thing you could pick and then backing it. I think trans is another one of those topics. Anyway, and the potentially good news category, Wired is talking about, I guess Doge didn't die. It just morphed into more of a permanent part of the government, which is good news. But I guess one of the Doge smart guys, more than one, but one person's in charge of it, they're developing some AI-related tool that they want to eliminate up to 50% of federal regulations within the next year or so. And they claim there are 200,000 federal regulations. Now, how in the world would you use AI to eliminate regulations? Would it just do the work of looking through them, and then how would it know that a regulation was a bad idea? That's the part that AI doesn't know, right? Because if AI is trained on what is written, probably every federal regulation has some backing to it. You know, if they looked online, they'd say, oh yeah, this is why it's created some safety. But how would it know that it created more problems than it solved? How would AI ever know that? So I guess I'm a little skeptical that AI could, you know, make a difference in that domain, because you would have to know a lot more than AI could possibly know to make a smart decision. But, you know, maybe it's sort of like AI helping a programmer, that you just use it to ask questions that would be hard to research, but then a human makes a decision. That's a lot of decisions. If you're trying to get rid of 100,000 federal regulations, how would you ever learn enough to know that you made the right choices? I don't know. Anyway, so I'm optimistic, and I don't think that the Doge geniuses would be working on it if it didn't have promise, but we'll see. And there's a projection that the effort of getting rid of all this deregulation could yield $3.3 trillion annually in economic benefits. $3.3 trillion? That would go a long way to paying down the national debt, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be the full $3.3 trillion every year, but that would generate a lot of new taxes. There's a report that on TikTok, somebody named Kane Calloway, that China now has a product called it's an AI headband that they're putting on Chinese students to make sure they're paying attention. So the headband will actually report if somebody's daydreaming or not paying attention. Now, that's the scariest thing you've ever heard of. Can you even imagine having a job or being in some kind of class where your brain's current thinking is being reported? Your current thinking. And it's going to get worse, because at the moment, maybe the headband can only tell if your eyes are looking in a certain place. But what happens when it can tell what you're thinking? Which is current technology. I told you about it yesterday. There's a current technology that can sort of read your internal dialogue. So we're probably just a few iterations away from China having a headband for their students that will tell you if their mind is drifting off the topic. Oh my God. Can you imagine what that would be like if you were one of those students. It's unimaginable. Speaking of China, Beijing is going to host the first humanoid robot games, according to Ariana News. So apparently the robot games will have sports. So they'll have speed skating and racing and some other things that humans do because they're humanoid robots. But they'll also have them doing, I guess they're doing sprinting, soccer, and kickboxing. I would love to see humanoid robots do a battle to the death. I would kind of like that. That'd be fun to watch. But they'll also be doing real-world scenarios, such as medication sorting and cleaning and industrial material handling. But what I really want to see is humanoid robots carrying a box from one shelf to another. You know, the one thing that they seem to be able to do. Yeah, I can get up if you knock me down, and I can carry a box from one shelf to another. Look at me go. All right. Let's talk about Ukraine. I guess on Monday, Putin's going to meet with Zelensky. And Trump might be part of that. But several European leaders have already invited themselves. So it will be a big useless meeting with too many leaders. But that's coming. It does suggest that everybody's really serious about getting some kind of a peace deal in Ukraine. So I would say that President Trump's efforts so far are more positive than not, meaning everybody's focused on this thing and imagining what it would look like. And you have to get the minds lined up first before anything else is going to happen. And it looks like the minds are lined up. They're not lined up with how it will be ultimately resolved. But here are some hints. I would say these are not confirmed, but these are reportedly what Trump would consider workable. Now, these are solutions that Ukraine definitely doesn't want. So let's be clear. It might be good for the United States if Ukraine, it might be good for Europe if Ukraine settles, but it's not going to be good for Ukraine, at least not in the sense that they're going to keep all the land they would like to keep. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. But reportedly, Trump is supportive of Russia taking over the other half of the Donbass that they have not already conquered. So the deal would look like Russia could keep everything that they've already conquered, and Donbass is half conquered. But Ukraine would give them the half they haven't yet conquered. Now, it's hard for me to imagine that Ukraine would go from a position of, you cannot have 1 inch of our territory from, before this certain year. Yeah, they would want Crimea back and all of Donbass back and all of the other regions that are conquered. How do you go from that to, you know what? Not only will we keep everything we've already conquered, but we want you to just give us the other half of the Donbass. Is that really going to be agreed on by Zelensky? I mean, really? Is there any possible way he's going to agree to that? Even if the other part of it is that Trump is going to float security guarantees for Ukraine. We don't know what that looks like yet, so we'd be speculating on the details. But the idea would be that we would commit to Russia that Ukraine would not be part of NATO, but instead, all the NATO countries would defend it if it were attacked. But not NATO. No. So you're saying that if Russia attacked, the NATO countries would come to Ukraine's defense. Yes. But Ukraine won't be in NATO. Oh, no. That's crazy talk. No, they're not going to be in NATO. They're just going to get all the benefits of being protected by NATO. So I would suggest that the name for this new treaty would be the Not NATO. Not NATO, all one word. Not NATO. Then it will just act like NATO, except that Ukraine won't have to give any money to NATO. So that's suboptimal. Wall Street Journal says it sees two ways that the Ukraine war will end. One is that Ukraine will be smaller and they'll give away all that conquered and semi-conquered territory. So there'll be a shrunken but surviving nation state. Alternately, they could lose everything, their sovereignties and all the land. Do you think that is the only way it could go? I don't know. I do think that Trump is going to have some threats that are going to look really good. So one of the threats could be, like I said, an all-robot war, which Russia might not be able to win. They could almost certainly win an all. They could almost certainly win an all human war if they wanted to keep grinding on. So that would be one threat. The other threat is these third-party sanctions, where they sanction India and China, I guess, for buying energy from Russia. I don't know if you could really pull that off. I just don't know that we could go that hard at China or India. And if we didn't, well, then nothing would change. So I don't know what kind of threats Trump has, but he usually does say, well, I don't have to prove I could do these things. I just have to make you think I might be able to do these things. So he's got a few of those levers, I might be able to do it. Well, CNN's body language expert, Chris Ulrich, said that Trump dominated Putin during the summit, that the body language contest, went to Trump completely. But the anti-Trumpers are having a field day. And if you have a chance, listen to MSNBC's pundits, or probably some of CNN's as well, talking about who won the summit. And if you do it with like just listening to the sound, it sounds like zombies who are starving for brains. Oh, human brains. Oh, finally, we've got something to talk about with a little bit of meat. We're so sad of losing all the time. But now we can say that, Trump is a puppet of Putin. We love saying that. Our favorite thing is to say that Putin is getting over on Trump and that Trump is his bitch. Oh, God, this is good. Oh, these are good brains. Oh, this is the best brains I've ever eaten as a zombie. They don't even sound like real people. They sound like they're having some massive mental problem that makes them feel better if they imagine that Trump is losing to Putin and they're telling you about it and you're hearing about it and you believe it. It must be what makes them feel good. So it's this weird Putin zombie brain eating kind of thing. According to leading report on X, Zelensky counters Putin's offer and says it is impossible for him to give up any land to Russia. Why are we getting to this point and acting surprised that Zelensky is going to say, I'm not giving you anything? Oh, un-NATO. That's pretty good. Un-NATO is better than not NATO. Nicely done. Un-NATO. That's what we'll call it. Well, as I warned you, and Euro Maiden Press is reporting, that Ukraine is rolling out more machine gun robots. And those machine gun robots, they say, are making great strides against the Russian human beings. So, yeah, we're getting closer to the all-robot war. It's coming, people. It's coming. All robots, all the time. All right. That's all I got today. It's a happy Sunday, and you're all going to have no NATO. I'll call it no NATO. No time. Denatoed. NATO-like. NATO-lite. No? All right. Yeah, Gary the cat did not visit today. I don't know, probably still hanging out in the man cave. But that's all I got for today. I'm going to talk privately a little bit to my beloved subscribers on Locals. The rest of you, I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. And thanks for coming, everybody. Local supporters, I'll be there privately in 30 seconds. Just in time for the premature sip. Yeah. Quasi-NATO. Okay. Greater, neater NATO. NATO, NATO tiny. All right, all you beloveds. Today was a light news day. I'll tell you, if you can do a podcast on a Sunday in August and you can get anywhere near an hour, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Neo-NATO. That's funny. Neo-NATO. NATO, not your father's NATO. Scott, can you unblock me on X? Well, what did you do on X? I don't block people for nothing. So, did you ask me if I got the jab? Because that got you a block if you did. Well, thank you. My voice is returning a little bit. I was having a tough time there for a while. I can't believe it's not NATO. Beto NATO? Gato? Gato. Natured. That's funny. Is that true? A man dies after falling into giant coffee vat. His wife told reporters he didn't suffer. It was instant. Well, okay. All right, well, you can ask Erica if she thinks I should unblock you. And make sure that you include whatever you posted right before you got blocked. Because you know what it was. You know what it was that got you blocked. You know what it was. You might have been giving me some medical advice that would have got you blocked too. Why not invite Russia to NATO? There was a time that might have made sense. I need to do a deep dive into H-1B and other visa programs. No, I don't. I don't need to do a deep dive. Let me tell you everything about H-1B. It would be a good idea if it were not abused, but it is totally abused. Is that deep enough? There's nothing else to say about it. If it really were for only the people that we need that we don't have, that have special skills, great idea. But it's not used for that entirely. So, no. All right. The funniest coffee death joke. Of all the coffee death jokes, that's the funniest one. In 1990, a black politics professor punished you for arguing pro-merit versus affirmative action. Yeah, so that was 1990. Do you think that was any different in 1975? In 1975... if I had ever written a paper, you know, just like you did, to say merit is better than affirmative action? You think that would have flown in 1975? No. No. Students have always had to lie. What? That's funny. Yeah, I am old, believe it or not. Oh, that's pretty good. AI does a good job on my cats. Me, not so much. With anything held together is a nightmare. So I wrote what the professor wanted. H1B abuse? Well, that would be if the Gazans. I think the Gazan story is too murky for me to report on yet. I don't know what's true about that yet. But if they use the H1B, that would just be more of that abuse I'm talking about. Who would be held liable for driverless cars? Good question. I don't know. You know that there are not nearly enough qualified native-born Americans for their companies. I know that. There's never enough qualified people. That's just generally true all the time about everything, everywhere. That isn't the case anymore. Yes, it is. It's always the case. There's no situation in which you don't want better, smarter, more qualified employees for everything. They lost a case where someone died. The owner and or manufacturer would be liable because the human is not doing the driving, I guess. Isn't importing endless H-1Bs? Well, those are unrelated. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know how the car companies could take that on. I don't know how. But I wonder if Tesla will end up providing a insurance option. I'll bet they will. All right, here's my prediction. Tesla will get into the insurance business because insurance companies won't know how to deal with Tesla, and they'll overprice the insurance for the car. What Tesla could do is make sure that they're fully insured, but the risk matches the actual, the cost and the risk are matched up. Probably only Tesla could do that because they would have the data to know what's safe and what isn't. Tesla already offers insurance? Really? Oh, they're already in the insurance business. All right. Well, I guess that would be one of my best predictions. Most of my predictions take a while to come true, but I just predicted the past. It's easier to predict the past. I recommend that. All right, what's that? The interviews are getting bad, yeah. A website that allows Americans to apply for the hidden H-1B jobs. Oh, that's interesting. There are hidden H-1B jobs. Yeah. You predict the present every minute. Well, there you go. All right, people. It's time for breakfast. And it's time for my morning nap with my cats. That's important. So say see you later. Oh, Jimmy Fallon did have his best ratings night when Gutfeld was on. So, which is funny. Imagine having your biggest competitor on and that's your best ratings. I suppose he wanted that. All right. See you tomorrow.